Saga Egmont presents A Genuine Fix by J.C. Kenney. Read by Kelly Burke. Chapter 1. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Actually, it was the best of times, full stop. I turned on the coffee maker and wandered into the living room of my apartment. While the machine gurgled away, I looked out the window. The view from my perch on the second floor was incomparable. On this sunny September morning, I could see from the shops of Washington Boulevard below me all the way to the verdant green woodlands of nearby Green Hills State Park. My tortoiseshell cat, Ursula, better known to one and all as Ursie, bumped her head against my shin and meowed as the aroma of fresh dark roast wafted in from the kitchen. Between an apartment I loved, a job I adored, and a group of family and friends who made me feel welcome and safe, life was good. After spending almost a decade on my own in New York City, it had taken some time to get used to small-town living. But now, 10 months after returning to my hometown to run my late father's literary agency, I'd settled into a routine that was as fulfilling as it was comfortable. "Ready for breakfast, girl?" I carried Ursie to the kitchen, scratching her ear on the way. I barely had time to pour her food into her Hello Kitty bowl before she attacked her breakfast with the ferocity of a lion feasting on the day's catch. Between the energy she spent on our regular walks around town and her prowling around our spacious living quarters, Ursie had become an eating machine. Even though I never seemed to fill her bowl enough to satisfy her, she was content in her new, window-filled surroundings as much as I was. On top of that, her status as the only cat in town who took her owner for walks had made Ursie something of a local celebrity. Despite my best efforts to downplay it, I couldn't deny my status as a local celebrity of sorts, too. It came with the territory of solving the first murder in Rushing Creek, Indiana, population 3,216, in 30 years. I was proud of the work I'd done to solve the case, but all things considered, I would have preferred that Thornwell Winchester, the father of my best friend Sloane, hadn't been murdered. The memories of those dark times as I searched for a murderer in the days after my own father's death still woke me up at night in a cold sweat, and probably would for the rest of my life. Several doors were opened to me during that rough time, though. They were openings I walked through without an ounce of regret, and they led me to where I now found myself, happy, healthy, and living the dream every day. "What's on today's agenda?" I pushed down the lever on my toaster to warm a blueberry bagel. Ursie responded by winding herself through my legs and then sauntering off to the living room and settling herself on her perch in front of a window. Evidently, napping, eating, and monitoring her surroundings were the items on Ursie's calendar. "Another day of guard kitty duty. What would I do without you?" When the bagel popped up, I spread a thick layer of Nutella on both pieces, filled my Cobb Literary Agency coffee cup, and took a seat at the kitchen table. I had a jam-packed schedule on this fine Thursday. First up, I needed to finish editing a client's thriller manuscript. I'd been up until 3 the night before reading it and had sky-high hopes for landing a contract offer from a publisher in record time. After that, Ursie and I needed to go for a walk. Then I was scheduled to spend the rest of the day contacting editors to whom I'd sent proposals. I had 5 books currently under consideration by various editors and was confident I'd land contracts for all of them. Ultra productivity was critical today because the next 4 days were filled with activities totally unrelated to my literary agency. Tomorrow, I was scheduled to check in at the under-construction Winchester Cobb Memorial Park as chair of the committee overseeing the park.